To the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1. When Jeff asked me to speak today, along the idea of goals or incentives for the church, at that time, I heard someone make the statement, and I don't intend this to be political at all, it just impacted what I was thinking, that she was to a point where she had no hope. And, you know, I think sometimes we have our hope focused in the wrong place. Right. And part of the message this morning will deal with the area of hope. And not all of it. Actually, I could have focused entirely on that. But we want to read verses 3 through 8, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit." When people think about churches today and they start praising them, you'll find that they praise churches for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes you'll hear someone say, "You should see that church. They have the most beautiful building you will ever imagine." Now, I can imagine if you were in California, many people would have said that you need to see the Glass Cathedral. That was a very expensive, marvelous building that preached nothing. Right. But everybody praised that building. That church since has sold the building and moved on. Now, I don't really still have, I assume they still have church, but the pastor of that church recently passed away. But prior to that, they started going down in membership and they sold that building. You'll hear others say, "Boy, that church is huge. Man, you should see the number of people that go. Well, they just started 3 years ago and look how large they are." Or another ideas that's right along with that, "Boy, they have 5 campuses." That's the big thing today, is to have all of these other churches that are tied in with you, and they call them campuses. 5 campuses. Man, that's a great church. Well, just because you're large does not necessarily mean it's a good, praiseworthy church. You'll hear some, you should go to that church. They are so friendly. Several years ago, a person that I thought should have known better was talking about how they went to this church and, my, they were so friendly, I think we'll start going there. It was a church that preached the false gospel.
Right.
But, they were so friendly. I know right along with that, some will say, that church demonstrates such great love. I remember years ago, a friend of mine was talking, and we were in a bookstore, and he said, "Now, you got this writer, and he says one thing, this one says something else, this one says something else, this one something else." He said, "To me, that just shows that doctrine doesn't matter at all. It's love. We just love. That's the main thing." And the church he was going to was a church that demonstrated a lot of love. And that's probably the reason he went there. Didn't preach the truth, but they demonstrated a lot of love. another thing you hear, boy, that church has great music. Boy, they just have tremendous singing. I don't know whether they still have those. I don't think they do, that all-night sing on New Year's Eve. But used to be they would do that, and people would go there and spend all night. They wouldn't sit for an hour and listen to the word preached.
Right.
But they'll sit there all night long listening to music. Now, I have nothing against good music, but we don't judge a church and we don't praise a church just because they have great music. Another area, and this is really taking over our country. Oh, that church, they have such miraculous services. People are healed there all the time. People just get touched. I was talking to someone just recently, and she said, well, how do you explain this? This person was slayed in the spirit and laid there for 30 minutes and couldn't get up. I don't know how you explain it. I don't know. I know this. Deuteronomy 13 says if someone raised the dead and call upon you to follow another god, you don't follow them.
That's right.
Don't pay attention to
Amen.
Them. And you will find most of these churches also have prophets and apostles. But you'll find it's very interesting. Most of those prophets will say, now we're not always 100% right. They'll admit that. But Deuteronomy 18 tells us that if what they say does not come to pass, it's because they're not of God.
Right.
So they, right off the bat, disqualify themselves. Now, what kind of a church do we want to be? Now, when Brother Jeff asked me to speak, it's kind of encouraging us to move and to reach certain objectives and so forth. I don't know that this message is going to even come close to doing that, but I think it's something that we do need to think about. A lot of times when we get to this time of year, we think, okay, what are we going to do for next year? Let's reach 300 in attendance. Or let's double our giving. Or let's double our giving to missions. Or let's see 50 people saved this year. Well, all of those are worthy and noble goals. But Paul in this passage, I believe, praises this church for basically two marks that are essential to a church. Two of them. You know, when I came here back, too long to even think about, I thought, you know, I believe one of the things that we need is we need to love our Savior more.
Amen.
And so one of the things I did is I taught on the tabernacle. And the reason I did that, the tabernacle pictures our Savior. In various ways, pictures our Savior. And I thought, okay, as we think about Him, as we contemplate Him, then that's going to increase our love for Him. Now, this morning, I want to try to look at two marks that are praised in this passage. And I believe if those two marks are here and grow, and I believe they are here, but as they grow, I think our church will advance. Maybe not before the eyes of the world, but before our God. Now, the first thing we see here in this is Paul is praising them, or praising the members, and for the kind of character that they have. Now, you notice he first of all says, I give thanks to God and the Father. And then he speaks about praying for them. I never thought about it, but can you imagine Paul, some of his travels was walking, but a lot of it was on a boat.
Right.
And sometimes when you get on a sailboat, the winds do not cooperate. I read about one person, I can't imagine this, traveling from England to America, and it took them over a year on a boat. Can you imagine being on a boat for over a year? That would drive you up the mast, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that'd drive you crazy. Well, I imagine when Paul was on that boat, he spent a lot of time praying. And he probably, I don't know, he probably had these different churches noted on a piece of paper, and he probably went through that every time. Some of you probably met Harold Bratcher. Maybe many of you didn't, but Brother Bratcher was one who had a book. If you asked him to pray for you, he'd write your name in that book. I've heard different stories about him. One time someone, the pastor came in and asked his secretary, "Is Brother Bratcher here yet?" "Well, I don't know, but there's somebody back in one Sunday school room. He's back up praying for 2 hours. That's Brother Bratcher.
Yeah,
he'd take that book and go back there and sit down or get down on his knees, and he'd pray over those things. Well, Paul here was praying for this church. Now, you'll notice he doesn't pray, "Lord, enlarge their building."
Right.
Or he doesn't pray, "Lord, give them more money so they can build a new building." No. You'll notice there's three qualities he's mentioning here. Verse 4 gives two of them. "Heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to the saints." Now, I'm not going to dwell on these two very much because I want to emphasize the third area here, and we'll have to explain that area a little bit. First, their faith. We as Baptists believe in what is called a regenerated church membership. In other words, we believe that in order to be a member of our church, you have to first of all be saved.
Right.
Now, obviously, that eliminates some, but we do that because we find that scriptural. And here he's talking about faith. Now, it starts out by faith in Jesus Christ. That's how our Christian life starts. Now, that's important, but also we continue walking in faith. We continue walking in faith. Now, I find that in the book of Habakkuk, a lot of people never read Habakkuk. It's a very interesting book. Habakkuk was troubled because Judah had gotten so sinful. And so he goes to the Lord, and he goes, "Father, what's wrong? Why haven't you done something? They are so wicked. Why haven't you judged them?" God says to Habakkuk, "Habakkuk, I'm going to. I got it. I got it under control. I'm going to bring the Chaldeans down."
Right.
"Well, Habakkuk, well, you can't do that. They're worse than Judah." Now notice something. God was using one nation to judge another nation. And I think when we look at turmoils and battles and fights between nations, many times that's acts of judgment by God.
Right.
But Habakkuk, "I don't understand, God. How can you do that?" You know what God told him? God told him, "The just shall live by faith."
Right.
Now, I point that out to remind us. Many, many times, things happen in this world that we can't begin to understand why they happen.
That's right.
We can't understand what God is doing. When I look at the flood that hit West Virginia, I don't understand that. And I don't understand why Brother Sean was up there in Clendenin and got hit by that flood. Or Brother Sexton up in Raynell got hit by that flood. I don't understand that. You say to me, "Well, why did God let that happen?" I don't know. I know this. God didn't lose control.
That's right.
I know that. I know that he had a good purpose in it for Brother Sean. I don't know what their purpose is. I have no idea. But you see, we the point I want us to get is we walk by faith.
Right.
Amen. When I look at what's happening in America, I am alarmed, but I realize God's still on the throne.
Yes.
God still rules. It frightens me when I start thinking about our grid system, which sounds like up in one state, was it Vermont? They tried to hack that grid system. That scares me with our grid system. There's a lot of things in our country that we're not prepared for battle. But our King is still on the throne.
Amen.
Now, he says love for all the saints. See, we need faith. We need love for all the saints. It doesn't say love for the saints in the church that we like. Doesn't say for the wealthy saints in the church. Doesn't say for the great spiritual saints of the church. No, love for all the saints.
Amen.
Church should be a place where we strive to care for and love everyone, irregardless of race, irregardless of intellectual abilities, irregardless of financial abilities. We ought to love all of the saints.
Amen.
Now, that's not always easy. And perhaps this morning as I'm saying, yeah, I'm going to strive to do that. And when you walk out, somebody snubs you. And, well, I'm not going to have anything else to do with that person. See, we love everyone of the saints. Now, let's move on, because I want to really look at this next one. Verse 5 says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Now, when you think about these three terms, they're mentioned several times in the writings of Paul. I'm not going to take time to turn to all of them, but they're mentioned several times. Faith, hope, and love. You remember in that great love passage in 1 Corinthians 13, he tells us the greatest of these is love. Well, I would submit to you this morning the most neglected of these is hope. That's you hear right. Messages on faith, you hear messages on love,
right.
But you don't hear too much on hope. Now, there's two ways, and I'm not going to take a lot of time to differentiate and look at different passages, but there's two ways this word's used. Sometimes it's used in a subjective sense, and that is we're talking about the hope that's in us. It's not the way we normally use hope, and it's an expectation, but sometimes it's used in the expectation in us, but here it's used in an objective way. When I started looking at this, I thought, okay, we got these three graces, faith, hope, and love. But when I got looking at this, the word hope here is talking about it in the objective way. You notice he says, the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Now, when you examine this, we're talking about a hope that's out there in the future for us.
Right.
Now, I think that's very important for more reasons than one. First of all, I believe when you look at the passage, you'll notice it says, for the hope. Now, a lot of good language scholars tell us the idea here is because of the hope. You have this faith and love because of the hope. Now, I wonder if the reason we don't have more faith in our lives, we don't have more love in our lives, is because we don't think about and we don't recognize the hope that we have.
Right.
Hope, because of the hope which is laid up for you. Now think about it for just a minute. Well, in fact, let's turn. I wasn't going to do this. I think we got time to do it. Now, let's turn to 1 Peter for just a minute. Now, this word or this subject could be an entire message by itself, and I want to get to something else also here. But you'll notice in chapter 1, verse 3 of 1 Peter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times." We have a lively hope. Folks, what happens is we get so wrapped up in the now,
right,
that we forget the future.
Right.
Now, I'm sure all of you have heard this. They are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good.
Yeah.
Well, I doubt that that's true.
That's right.
I think probably the real problem is they don't have a heavenly mind, and that's the reason they're no better off than what they are.
Right.
See, now think about it. And like I said, this could be an entire mess. We have out there in the future waiting for us our Savior.
Right.
He's going on before us. He's paved the way, so to speak. And he's there at the right hand of the Father waiting for us. We have an expectation of that's the subjective side of it. We have a hope of being there someday, but our hope, Jesus Christ, is already there, and someday he's coming back. That's our blessed hope,
right,
and we're going to be out of this world into that heavenly eternal abode.
Right.
Now, many people aren't ready for that because they don't have that hope there. They've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to save. They've never had that faith in Christ, and so they don't have that hope. But you notice he talks about an inheritance. Now, I don't know what all that entails, but it's bound to be great, isn't it? He says it's incorruptible, undefiled, doesn't fade away. How many times do we see people... you hear this all the time, stock market drops. Well, there went my 401k. I'm going to have to work a couple more years. We don't have to worry about this inheritance we have in heaven that's waiting for us, because it's not going to fade away. And you notice it's reserved in heaven. See, that's where he said back in Colossians, laid up. It's in store there waiting for us. Reserved. Who are kept? Now, we that are saved, God's going to keep us and see to it that we get there to enjoy that hope. He's going to preserve us. He's going to keep us. Now, let's go back to our text. He says here, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." Now, think about this for just a moment. And again, this is a message in and of itself, and I'm just going to summarize. We have been saved. We sometimes speak of the three tenses of salvation. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. That's in the past tense. We have been saved. You that are saved, you have been saved from the penalty of your sins. Present tense, we are being saved from the power of sin. Now, it's not, we've not totally been delivered from that. But the rule of sin in our life, King Sin that reigned in our heart, he's been kicked off the throne. The problem is, he wants to get right back up there. And you win the victory today, tomorrow you're going to have to fight it again. See, King Sin wants to get back on the throne. Now, he's been kicked off, and he no longer reigns, but he's not dead either.
Right.
So we have been saved from the penalty. We are being saved from the power.
Right.
We shall be saved from the presence.
Right.
Won't that be glorious?
Amen.
You won't have, you'll notice anymore, and you see this, you'll see in news, commentary, someone had their house broken into. Boy, you used to be able to live here and not even lock your doors. We got to start locking our doors. Well, you better lock your doors, your house, lock your car, and everything else.
Right.
Now, we got to all this trouble with computer fraud, and they advertise all these different companies to protect you from computer fraud. Boy, won't it be great in heaven? We won't have to worry about locking the door. You won't hear somebody say, oh, did you hear about this murder that took place over in this part of heaven? You got to be careful. Got a lot of murders going on up here. You won't have to worry about that. You ladies won't have to worry about going out and fearing being raped. We won't have to worry about people dying of drug overdose. Heaven will be a perfect place.
Amen.
We're going to be out of the presence of sin. Now, the point I want you to get is this. We need to contemplate that more rather than less. We need to think about if you were wealthy and you decided, you know, I'm going to be retiring in a few years. I think I'm going to buy me an, I see every once in a while these people go out and buy an entire island. And build them a house there. Buy an entire island and live there. Just build them a nice house and just live there. Well, if you were going to do that, you'd start preparing, wouldn't you?
Right.
You'd start building the house. You'd start sending stuff there. Folks, we're just passing through.
Right.
We're going to another world. Right now, we're part of a different kingdom. If you're here and saved, you're part of a different kingdom.
Amen.
And you're going someday to be there with your king forever.
Right.
And so think about that. Think about what that means. Okay, if we're part of that kingdom and he's coming back someday and we're going to be with him forever, doesn't that seem to say to us, just relax. I've got things under control. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in America. No one else does. I can understand. We go through this every 4 years. The people that party wins, they're hopeful. The people that parties lose, they're sad and dishopeful. Folks, it doesn't depend upon who's president of the United States.
Amen.
Now, I love our country, but Father, but we're part of a different kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
America is not going to be the kingdom out in eternity.
Right.
It's going to be the kingdom established by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we are headed for that kingdom. But right now, he's still on his throne. I don't know what God has in store for America. But I know this. Just like when the flood hit, there were good Christian people that got flooded.
Right.
It may be because of the sin in America that God will bring even greater calamities on our country. I need to move on. what I believe he's telling us here, Paul's telling us here, is this hope has an impact on our faith and our love.
Right.
And so we need that. Now, let's move to the second mark here. First of all, the members, and that they have faith, hope, and love. And we tried to explain the term hope here. What about we need members with a proper message? Not only a proper character, but a proper message. Now, that's one of the things that's tragic in our land. When I go out visiting, or when I'm talking to people just in private conversation, and they find out I go to church, oh, I go to all the different churches. I just love going to all the different churches. That to me is ridiculous. I don't want to sift through a garbage can to find a little bit of food to eat. I hope I don't have to do that. It may be that sometime we might have to do that, but I hope we don't. Folks, I know this is hard, and I know people don't like to hear it. Not all churches preach the truth of the gospel.
Right.
Amen. They just don't preach the truth of the gospel. Now, it's obvious that our church could grow a lot more if we stop preaching just the gospel message as we preach it. There'd be a lot of people come. If we just quit preaching that salvation by grace through faith is the only way you can be saved, that would make a lot of people happy. Wouldn't make our Lord happy, but it'd make a lot of people happy. And we'd probably grow. Our pastor commented just recently about preaching the whole counsel of God. And a church should do that.
Right.
But primarily, we need to preach. Now, you notice how Paul describes it here in verse 5. He says, "Whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." See, the way they knew about this hope that was before them is because there was a revelation of it in the Word. The Word of God reveals to us that we have a hope out there in the future.
Amen.
We have a home out there in the future. And we know that not because we've seen heaven. Now, I'll be frank with you. I don't buy these experiences where people die and go to heaven and come back and start telling us all about it. Now, when you listen to them, a lot of times they tell us things that there's no way we could check it with the Bible in the first place. But a lot of times what they tell us is just totally contrary to Scripture. A friend of mine, pastor friend, and an evangelist he had, visited a hospital in Charleston. They went in to visit this man who was sick and dying. He basically told him, I don't have any worries. Now, he wasn't saved and didn't profess to be saved. I don't have any worries. I had this outer body experience. I died, went to heaven. I saw all of the glories of heaven, come back. I don't care what y'all got to say. I'm okay. I wonder sometimes, they see a great light. Satan transferred into a minister of light.
Right.
I wonder sometimes if they aren't seeing Satan.
Right.
I understand you can't argue with a person that's had an experience. I understand that. But Paul, these Colossians got a revelation of that hope from the Word of God. Notice, it's the Word of the truth of the gospel.
Amen.
Now, if there's a truth of the gospel, doesn't it seem logical that there also are false gospels?
Sure does.
Satan doesn't want to lose his people. And so one of the things he's done is he has counterfeited the message. And he's got counterfeit churches with counterfeit messages. Now you say, well, how do I know you're right? You don't. You take this book and you check it out. Now this morning, I'm declaring to you that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. That's what I'm declaring here this morning. That's what this church declares. And what I'm wanting to stress this morning is that we continue to do that.
Right.
You know, we can stop declaring that, and we can pick up a few people from this church and a few people from that church and a few people from someplace else because we've stopped declaring those things that upset them. If we quit preaching, I don't particularly like this terminology, so don't accuse me of something I don't believe. But if we quit preaching the fact that when a person is saved, they're saved forever, we'd be far more popular than what we are. Far more. But in so doing, I believe we would start preaching a works for salvation message. Because when you believe you can lose it, you've got to work to keep it, and you can lose it, that you're keeping yourself saved. That's a works for salvation message. Now, you'll notice hope which is laid up in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word which is coming to you as it is in all the world. I believe, now when I read a lot of different writers on this verse, a lot of them said, well, this is talking in exaggeration. I think he was speaking the truth.
Amen. Me too, brother.
I think it had gone into the world back then. Some books give the place where all of the apostles died. Some of them were over in India. Some of them were down in Africa. I was reading this week, it suggested that Paul, and one of the places mentioned in the book of Romans, is present-day Yugoslavia. Some even suggest that Paul may have gotten out of prison and went to Spain. Now, I don't know whether he did or not, but some suggest that. But what I'm getting at is this. Our message is a message for all the world. It's a message for every place. And that's something we need to keep in mind. See, that's one of the reasons we support missionaries. If this was just an American message, we wouldn't need to send missionaries to Africa, would we? No, it's to go into all the world. Now, you'll notice here, Paul has a lot of praise for Epaphroditus. He praises him as a fellow servant. Now, again, a lot of times we see a lot of jealousy in the ministry. One of the teachers I had in college said, there's more jealousy per square inch in the ministry than any other profession. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. I appreciate Brother Jeff inviting me to preach this morning. I know he'd love to be up here challenging you to what he'd like to see in the year ahead. But he stepped aside and allowed me to preach. Brother Jeff has not been jealous of me being here in this church. I appreciate that. But one of the reasons a lot of times that churches don't get along better is because of the jealousy that exist among preachers.
That's right.
And I'm talking about in our own type churches.
Right.
Jealousy among preachers. And that exists. I hate to say it, but it does. Paul, now you notice this thing was kind of both ways. Paul didn't start the church at Colossae. It appears that this Epaphras did. Paul loved him and considered him a fellow laborer. Epaphras loved Paul and was reporting to Paul about this church. Now, let's wrap this up by thinking of a couple of things. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2, please. Our brother Jeff will be to this in a couple months. Chapter 2. Look at verse number 2. I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience. Now you just hold your finger right there, Revelation 2. I should have read this other verse first. So let me turn back. I'll turn back and read it. See if you can notice a difference when I read this. Paul said to the Thessalonians, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you see something missing there in Revelation? He says, I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience. Or remember without ceasing your work of faith. Faith is missing there in that passage. Hope, your labor of love, patience of hope. All three of those are mentioned that missing in the passage in Revelation. Now, I want to close by stressing two facts. We've looked at two marks, the characteristics of a church member and the message of a church member. But think about this church at Ephesus, and when you look at a map, Colossae was not too far from Ephesus. Now, I don't know, Paul wrote Colossians when he was in prison. So it would be, say, probably in the 660s A.D. John probably wrote Revelation in about the first part of the 90s. So about 30 years later, here's a church that probably, the Ephesus church and the community of Ephesus, that's probably where the Colossae church came out of. Yeah. And the churches all around there that's mentioned in Revelation, well, Ephesus is mentioned, but those other churches probably were started as a result of the ministry of Paul at Ephesus.
Amen.
But here's this Ephesus church, and all three of these great virtues are missing. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. I think we have those virtues here. Not perfectly. No church has them perfectly.
Right. Right.
See, when it comes to these things, you have to recognize it's a continued transforming process. If you recognize, okay, I need to grow in these things, and start looking, okay, what can I do in the Word to grow in them, then you'll see progress.
Amen.
But if you say, okay, I'm going to do it, and then in a couple of months you say, well, I'm not doing any good, I just give up, it's not going to help. Now, secondly, it's important what we preach, the message we preach. Again, we quit preaching what we preach. or we can continue to preach in it. And let me stress this and then I'll quit. It's important that you in the pew know the word.
Amen. Amen.
I hope when I come to church some Sunday morning 50 years from now, and hear Brother Jeff up preaching 50 years from now, the church will be still standing for what we stand for now. But I'm realistic. I'm not going to be here attending church 50 years from now. I'd like to, but I won't. And Brother Jeff won't be preaching here 50 years from now. There's going to come a time when there's going to be a change. You need to know the truth so well that when Brother Jeff leaves, and I'm not suggesting that happening at all anytime soon, I think about 45 years from now when he passes on, be time to search for another pastor. But you need to know the truth.
Amen.
So that you will be able to tell whether that preacher is preaching the truth or not.
Right.
Too many times, if it sounds good, that's all it takes.
Yeah,
don't make a difference whether he preaches the truth or not. Boy, that man can preach. But what's he preach? What's he preaching? So we need to have godly character. We need to have the right message. If we do, at the end of 2017, this church will have experienced growth. This church will be stronger. This church will be better than it is this morning.
Amen.
If we neglect those things, if we abandon those things, at the end of 2017, we won't be better. We won't be stronger. We'll be weaker.
Right.
But yeah.
Thank you.